Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Travis Ryer, the BamaOnline.com staff. It is a Saturday night. It is an hour or so, a couple hours, I guess, now, following Alabama's 44-13 win over the Miami Hurricanes in Atlanta, Georgia. The Crimson Tide gets off to a strong 1-0 start, courtesy of a 31-point win over the Hurricanes. Some about Miami. Miami can't quite get over the 13-point hump, right? When it comes to matchups with the Alabama Crimson Tide. New Year's Night, 1993, Alabama 34, Miami 13. Fast forward 28 years, Alabama 44, Miami 13. And where do we start? Well, let's start with Bryce Young, because it was his first start at the University of Alabama. Very successful, I would say. 344 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. The highest numbers in those respective categories for a first-time starter, quarterback in his first start at Alabama, in program history. So all things looking good with Bryce Young. Had the one turnover there on the strip sack and kind of looked like maybe a protection bust for Alabama between the offensive line, maybe even the running backs there. So Alabama still, though, able to finish +2 in turnover margin for the game thanks to a couple of interceptions from that Alabama defense. Malachi Moore, Jalen Moody stepping in. Figured he would be a strong presence if given the opportunity. Henry Toa goes out with an elbow injury there in the second half. Moody's in. Moody makes an interception. Fadarian Mathis had a fumble recovery, but it didn't come without a cost, as we saw, because Christopher Allen, unfortunately, according to the postgame comments of Nick Saban, could be out for the remainder of the season with a foot injury. We'll know more, obviously, here in the next day or so. But, boy, Christopher Allen and Will Anderson, you were seeing it unfold very early in the game on Saturday afternoon. What so many future opponents of Alabama were fearful of was the fact that these two guys could really, really blow up offenses. And Will Anderson, tremendous throughout the game. 9 tackles, a sack. Again, just a real problem. Big part of the goal line stuff there on De'Eriq King in the third quarter. Henry Toa getting an assist on that as well. But that all started with Will Anderson blowing up the edge and getting in on the stop of De'Eriq King there to keep the Hurricanes out of the end zone. So offensively, you really like what you saw from Bryce Young. The running back position, it was sort of the committee approach that we anticipated. Brian Robinson getting the start. But you saw Jason McClellan, you saw Roydell Williams, and you also saw Trey Sanders run 20 yards and into the end zone for Alabama's lone rushing touchdown in the game. Really great to see Trey Sanders persevere as much as anything. Given the injuries the last couple of years, you've heard Nick Saban talk about that a pretty good bit in recent days. Rewarded, I guess, is a good way to put it for Trey Sanders, the number one running back recruit in the nation a couple of years ago, and looked like he may have helped himself in terms of future reps. Now, I think for the running backs, maybe as much as anything, ball security, give Roydell Williams credit, even though he still got chewed by Nick Saban on the sideline before this was reviewed and overturned. He put it on the ground, but he went back and got it. You know, that's important. And so I'm not quite a point yet with Roydell Williams where you're worried about fumbling. But he did fumble against Arkansas in mop-up time last December. Lost a fumble down inside the 10 of the Razorbacks. And then we see it again in the season opener. But Chase McClellan showing you some good things sort of in between Brian Robinson and Roydell Williams. And again, the finish that Trey Sanders had on a couple of his runs. You saw good vision, saw good cutting ability, good acceleration, and also some physicality at the end of a couple of those runs. So Alabama averaged little more than 4 yards per carry in the game, but in the first three quarters of the game, while it was still at least somewhat competitive, I guess you could say the first two quarters, Alabama averaged 6 yards per carry. In the fourth quarter, when Miami defensively knew that Alabama was just looking to run the ball and get out of Atlanta, that's when the Crimson Tide had just 10 rushing yards on 15 attempts. And look, Nick Saban isn't just going to say, well, Miami knew it was coming. Nick Saban doesn't want to hear any of that. He wants to run the football even when opposing defenses know, and especially when he's got a big lead and he's looking to take the air out of the football. He's going to want to see more than what he saw from that Alabama run game. And again, you had three different quarterbacks play for Alabama in the fourth quarter. Paul Tyson, Jalen Milroe made his UA debut there late. You saw the second team offensive line enter the game with Milroe in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, there's some reasons for that. But Nick Saban don't want to hear all that. That's why he's Nick Saban, I guess. Wide receiver position. Jameson Williams provided exactly what you were hoping to see from him. 94 yards with the back wasn't already broken. It was already fused pretty good for the Hurricanes at that point. But in terms of future opponents and upcoming games, that's what you love to put on tape for teams that think, you know what, maybe we'll crowd the box a little bit more than we have against Alabama in recent years. And there was a stretch kind of after the first quarter, after the first half, where it felt like the passing game was condensing for Alabama. You weren't seeing a lot of separation. You know, the thing about Bryce is he can make wrongs right, and I thought he did that more than a couple of times on Saturday afternoon between making some protection issues right because he can extend plays and he can avoid pressure. And then also as a result of that, by extending plays, he can help get guys open. You know, but the bomb to Jameson Williams, just big for a multitude of reasons. You love to put that out there, so how are you going to defend us now? I'm sure you're thinking one way going into this game, but now you've got Jameson Williams hitting an explosive like that. John Metchie hit one as well for a touchdown. How about Cameron Latou? First two catches as a member of the Alabama Crimson Tide, they both go for touchdowns, and they weren't just sort of little pop passes down inside the five. These were, you know, lengthy receptions, and one after the catch, very impressive, used the offhand with a stiff arm, and you know, he gets into the end zone a couple of times. So the passing game, all things considered, very encouraging. I'm sure, though, between protection at just about every area of the passing game, that will be a point of emphasis in the upcoming practice week. Defensively, what you expected, right? Again, getting back to Anderson and Allen on the edges, Toa Toa, Christian Harris at inside linebacker. Secondary was interesting because it was a little bit different than what we were anticipating. Offensive line, we need to talk about that too. With Malachi Moore at safety and Brian Branch at star, Jordan Battle obviously at safety, Josh Job, Jalen Armour Davis at the corner positions. Thought they were pretty solid throughout. Daniel Wright got hit with a PI that I didn't think was PI. Thought it was pretty good coverage. He got hit with a hold down inside the 10 that, maybe it was, but I thought he did a pretty good job of trying to conceal it. And that was a play that obviously Miami had seen on tape from the Ole Miss game last year. If you remember in the first quarter of the trip to Oxford, very similar look Alabama got from Ole Miss, and Kenny Yeboah ended up scoring a touchdown on it down there inside the 10. But, you know, a lot of different faces in the secondary. Malachi Moore once again with a takeaway. You like the takeaways. First half, I think Miami was 1 of 6 on third down, so that was a positive. Third quarter, Miami found some rhythm, converted 5 of 7 on thirds. But for the game, Alabama offensively 10 of 16. Three more field goals from Will Reichard. Is he ever going to miss again? Has he just decided he's never going to miss again, Will Reichard? After a perfect 2020, he gets off to a 3-for-3 start. And this one, including a bomb from 51 yards, it had a pretty little draw on it. Something I would like to try to do on the golf course that sadly I don't do is a pretty little draw. It's more of a flip hook that doesn't get off the ground all that much. But James Burnett, you were wondering how much you might see him in the game. Alabama very successful on third down, so we only saw James Burnett twice. Reichard with the three field goals. I wouldn't say is that his two punts were encouraging looking ahead, but it's a start. You know, he didn't get them blocked. They weren't outright shanks. They can get better. There's no doubt about that. Reichard's kickoffs were really good. Jack Martin had some opportunities on kickoffs as well. He had one of them go out of bounds, so I'm sure that didn't sit well with Nick Saban and Drew Svoboda and the staff there. But, you know, about what you would expect. Slade Bolden back deep on punt returns. Did a nice job of securing the football. Had a couple of returns where you thought he was maybe a step away. Didn't quite materialize for him. So all in all, though, you know, a very positive start. And so now you try not to look too far ahead with the Florida Gators a couple Saturdays away. But we all know that's going to be the next big test. It's going to be a true road matchup, and we're certainly going to preview that one for you extensively in the days and weeks to come. If you got anything for me, let's hear it. Heath is watching, I see here. Yeah, Ajay Hall got in there. You know, the rotation at wide receiver was certainly interesting, wasn't it, Tim? JoJo Earl, as you kind of expected, was sort of that next guy in behind the top three, but you know, then you got into some Trayshawn Holden and some Javon Baker, and then you saw Ja'Cory Brooks and Ajay Hall and Tyu Jones-Bell. So played a lot of people, not only at wide receiver, but really across the board. And as we talked about, the offensive line, interesting in its own right. I know Charlie Potter had us updated from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and Brian, we'll talk about that. You know, the pregame warm-ups. When you see Darian Dalcourt snapping to Bryce Young and Chris Owens is sort of down the pecking order at center, maybe as much as an indication of anything that Chris was going to start at right tackle at that point, because he wouldn't be the third team center or the fourth team center. So that kind of sets your flag up that Chris Owens might very well be making a start, and he's played right tackle in the past, so shouldn't be made a start at right tackle last season. You know, I thought the offensive line, and again, understanding, as we've heard from Nick Saban, it's been a real struggle, or it was in the preseason, to get the top five, the first five out there together for an extended stretch. There were moments where you thought, you know, they're going to be really good, and I still think they're going to be really good. I'm not convinced they're totally done either, in terms of what they're going to look like maybe even in a month compared to what they looked like as far as the players in certain spots on Saturday afternoon. So work in progress, best way I would describe the offensive line. A couple of the snaps from Dalcourt were a little shaky. Again, another one of those areas where Bryce Young, really athletic, and he can make some wrongs right. With that athleticism, thought he did a pretty good job on a couple of those from Dalcourt to, you know, not only corral them, but not really miss much of a beat in terms of running the play. But Dalcourt showed you when you can get him out in front of some things like runs and the quick game, throwing it, he can do some really good things. The touchdown run by Trey Sanders was beautifully blocked. Dalcourt got a pancake. Emil Ekior, very good job. I think he had a couple of double teams on that. And you also saw the value, once again, of Kendall Randolph being able to play that tight end spot, working alongside Chris Owens on that Sanders touchdown run. They just really opened up a big hole, and Sanders kind of did it from there. Deborah watching in. Tom watching in. John is watching in. John says it was a great game. I didn't have Alabama winning by 31. So that's kind of where this program is at. Alabama as a 19.5-point favorite, I believe, at kickoff, wins by 31. And we're talking about, wow, they got some areas where they got to clean some things up. Yeah, I think that tells you as much as anything what type of era of Alabama football we're living in right now when, you know, we're having that kind of discussion. But, again, the injuries, it's a shame to see Atlanta, Georgia season openers against ACC teams just won't leave Alabama linebackers alone. You know, you had Terrell in 2017. You had Christian in 2017. Then you see Henry Toa go down with the elbow. And, of course, Christopher Allen with the foot. So, you know, with Allen out, Drew Sanders next up at strong side linebacker. But you saw Chris Braswell in the game and some pass rush type situations. He's certainly going to be a big part of that moving forward, you would think, if the worst case scenario plays out with Christopher Allen. And then you could start to see maybe more of a true freshman like Dallas Turner. That's kind of the way it looked as far as how they proceeded, you know, once Allen went out. And they have some versatility, as we've talked about, within the linebacker position, even at inside linebacker. And I think you saw more of this once Allen went out of the game Saturday. They went more three-man front pass rush, and they kept Toa Toa and Christian Harris in the game together at inside linebacker and looked to play the dime that way more so than with a four-man front and a single inside linebacker, which Christian Harris was that guy earlier in the game before Allen went out. Yeah, Brian, I saw your comment. Saw your comment there for Georgia and Clemson. That game's winding down as we speak, so if you want to hit me with some updates, feel free. But defensive battle kind of had that 2011 Alabama LSU feel to it. You know, Tim, I haven't seen. I know that Sark got a nice W today. A lot of folks were picking Louisiana to go into Austin and upset Texas, but I'm not, I know, right? Giving me some Ben Davis questions still. There you go. Still getting the Ben Davis questions.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, you know, I hear you on the punting, but and I know Nick Saban has talked about James Burnett has punted before. Well, he has punted a football before, but I don't think James Burnett has punted in a situation like he did today. You know, in Mercedes-Benz Stadium with a capacity or close to capacity crowd, top 15 matchup, he's going to get better. I thought what was interesting about it was I don't recall seeing really a rugby approach from Alabama under Nick Saban. We saw that on the first punt. Second punt was the traditional American-style punt, I guess you could call it. And neither one of them were particularly aesthetically pleasing. So, you know, but the good news is he only punted twice. So, you know, I kind of went into this game thinking he may go four or five times. And he was only needed twice. Frederick, it is going to be an interesting scenario to consider with Trey Sanders moving forward in terms of his workload, because he did not look the worst for wear or previous injuries, I guess you could say. I thought Trey Sanders looked spectacular in coming back from his latest injury in the win over Miami. Just very natural, fluid, as I said earlier, check pretty much all the boxes in terms of on the ball. I think, you know, what you're going to have to continue to address here with these backs, and even with Brian Robinson, is some of the protection in the passing game. I mean, it's great that Bryce Young can, again, kind of serve as this eraser to mistakes when they're made by people around him, but you don't want him to get into a mode of even pre-snap thinking, I'm not going to be able to stand in here. The first thing I'm going to have to do is evade a linebacker or a blitzer if they're coming. Sooner or later, that works on the psyche of your quarterback a little bit. Yeah, I agree, Brian. We talked about it earlier, the PI on Daniel Wright. Tough matchup, too, because he's got Charleston Rambo, the Oklahoma transfer, one for one. Did a really nice job, and thought the official sort of anticipated what he thought was going to happen, and it didn't really happen that way. Yeah, and it seems like you're right, Michael. I see more and more in college football, especially, more, you know, pushing and separation that way from receivers, offensive PI that doesn't get called. John, you know, I think once you get past Mechie and Williams right now, it's still sort of a mixed bag. And the good thing was, I think, I want to say that Bryce had completions to 9 different receivers in the game, so he's obviously comfortable with Cameron Latu at tight end, and that's a part of this too. I mean, you have to think that at some point in the not too distant future, things with Jahlil Billingsley are going to get right, and that's going to become more of your number 3 guy, or even 2 guy in some instances. And yeah, I think JoJo Earl has that potential as well. We saw him pretty early on Saturday check in there in the slot. You know, Slade had a pretty solid game, 3 catches. You know, Javon Baker got to catch a few balls. Trayshawn Holden had a pretty rough drop there, I want to say, in the – I guess it may have been the fourth quarter. Yeah. So, you know, those are some things that you got to clean up. But, you know, these are still some guys that haven't played a ton of football. And, again, some of the guys from last year didn't benefit from spring practice or – really a true offseason leading up to the 2020 season. So in some ways, they're in the same boat as even some of these true freshmen. And you know, Ja'Cory Brooks and Ajay Hall are eventually going to be real factors in this thing as well. So it's kind of a log jam there, but I think it starts with Billingsley getting back to where he needs to be. Tripp's checking in from Venice Beach, Florida. Yes, very nice, Tripp. I got a score update. Gosh, LSU down 21-10? What's up with my guy, Max Johnson? I've been driving that Max Johnson train all offseason. Yeah, John, we talked about that a little bit too earlier, the adjustment that will have to be made if Chris Allen is out for an extended stretch or perhaps the season altogether, as Nick Saban intimated following the game today. I think you saw it a good bit after he went out. You know, Drew Sanders, as a strong side linebacker, can come in. He can set the edge against the run. He can play in coverage. He is still evolving as a pass rusher. But then Chris Braswell can come in some situations, certainly give you some pass rush. He's sort of the 180 of Drew Sanders right now. Still getting there physically in terms of being a legit run defender, playing in coverage. So I guess what I'm saying is it may take at least 2 players to sort of cover for what you were getting from Chris Allen. If there's a silver lining in all of this, is that the guy on the other side, and you knock on wood 175 times, is healthy and looked like the best player in all of collegiate football. Not the best defensive player, maybe the best overall player in college football, in Will Anderson. Ah, so it looks like LSU has scored to cut it to 21-17. I appreciate that update. Yeah, Jasper, I don't know. I think it's kind of hard. It was good to see Paul Tyson convert a 3rd down to Ajay Hall. You know, it's a tough spot when those twos and threes get in there, because the full playbook is not open at that point. They're just trying to get the game over. Everybody in the stadium knows what's coming. So if you do get an opportunity to throw the football, it's going to be on like third and eight. So, you know, that was the situation for Paul Tyson and Jalen Milroe. Jalen, it looked like it was a third and short, and maybe he kept, or fourth and short, and maybe he kept on his own read when he was in there tonight or this afternoon. And when he got to the sideline, Nick Saban didn't seem all that happy about it. So there you go. Georgia wins, Doug tells me now. 10-3. Yeah, lit it up in Charlotte, didn't they? Montana, the Grizz, about to beat Washington, Michael tells me. How about the Grizz? Coming over from Missoula, going into Seattle. Wasn't Washington a top 25 type team in the preseason? Georgia's defense looked pretty good tonight, Marco. Now, I think you got to rack some of that up to that Clemson looked like a total mess. And too many of the problems you saw for Clemson against Ohio State in the college football playoff, you know, at the end of last season, seemed to still be around. That offensive line for Clemson got their butt handed to them. And I know DJ Ungalele is going to get all the heat, especially with the NIL stuff and all that. But the old axiom is still true. If you can't get people blocked, you can't win. And so give credit to Kirby. That was a big spot for Georgia. Not that Georgia had to have the game to remain relevant to the national championship discussion or the college football playoff discussion, but just from a perception standpoint of Kirby and that program, they needed that win, and they got it done. Yeah, John, Oklahoma was interesting today. We had been told, right, all offseason we had been told this Oklahoma defense is not that Oklahoma defense. And then Tulane comes out after being displaced and spending the week in Birmingham following the path, the destructive path of Hurricane Ida, goes right down the field and scores to take a 7-0 lead and led that game for a good bit of the game. You know, Oklahoma just doesn't do it for me, and it's not just the defense. I think Spencer Rattler and Matt Corral in a lot of ways are the same guy, and in a lot of ways that's a good thing because these are guys that can throw for 4,000 yards in a season. But in terms of that one or two performances per year that can really put you in a situation of not being able to maximize the overall potential of a team, I think they both are capable of that as well. What else you got for me, gang, before we get out of here on a Saturday night following Alabama's 44-13 win over the Miami Hurricanes? Tom and Steve, what do we got? Yeah, they did. You know, Tulane did practice at the indoor facility in Tuscaloosa. That's right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I put JT Dane. I don't know. They're all, I call them quarter bros. They're all bros. Corral, Spencer Rattler. Yeah, I see some bro in JT Daniels. Jim, you want me to rank the SEC teams right now? Gosh. I'm going Alabama first. I'll go Georgia 2. Then it gets tricky for me because I've been all over LSU this offseason. I got to eat some crow. It's looking more and more like as this night moves along. Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Texas A&M 3. Where are we going? We going Florida 4? Florida didn't exactly blow your hair back tonight. Yeah, A&M didn't look great either with Haynes King making his first start. I was impressed with Texas too, Byron. Those would probably be my top four right now. And Ole Miss, let's see what they look like on Monday night. You know, if Ole Miss thumps a Lane Kiffin-less Ole Miss, thumps Louisville in Atlanta on Monday night, suddenly a lot of us may have Ole Miss as a top three type team in the SEC. Top three, top four for sure. You know, Mississippi State was down 20 to La Tech today. Kentucky did look good. Yeah, yeah. I liked what I saw from Kentucky today. It was ULM, but you know, we said that about ULM in 2007 too, right? How about ULM, man? They love this, don't they? Alabama just keeps hammering these non-conference opponents in the regular season, and they just stand there with their chests out. Yeah, Ron, it looked like just cramps for Brian Branch. And then, you know, you heard from Nick Saban post-game. I think Shane Lee was in street clothes, so you had some other things going on. He mentioned Damian George not being available tonight, which made sense once you started to see the twos on offense late in the game. DeMarco Ellums, you saw a little bit of. He got flagged for the crackback block on the interception. So, you know, maybe you're going to get some guys healthier here in the next few days. Obviously, you had a couple injuries on Saturday, one that could be particularly costly, but could be getting some guys back to full strength too, full availability. All right, gang. Well, as always, we appreciate you joining us here on Instant Analysis, this one following Alabama's 31-point win over the Miami Hurricanes. We're going to have complete coverage wrapping things up of this one for you. And then, of course, we're going to get right back into game week mode and start looking forward to SEC play in the not-too-distant future with the trip to Gainesville on September the 18th. Have a great rest of your evening, everybody. Thanks again.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.